Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're continuing in our study, and this particular message, I think, is very appropriate on the 69th anniversary of our church, because we're going to be dealing with the source of our power. The source of our power today and the supply of the Holy Spirit. I want to read verses 19 through 26 of chapter 1. This is all part of the philosophy of Christian living that Paul lays out in his letter to the church there at Philippi. And he indicates to them that they're not left here upon this earth without power, that they have everything they need through the Holy Spirit of God to live the Christian life. We know from Romans chapter 8 that the power of the Christian is the power of the Holy Spirit. And he brings that out again in this chapter, and we're going to emphasize that today as we take up the subject of the supply of the Holy Spirit and the philosophy of Christian living, beginning at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, or a better translation of that word is deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that it gives us very clearly an understanding of where our power comes from for ministry, for living the Christian life, for teaching our boys and girls, for living our life, our testimony out before a lost and dying world. Father, we thank you today that you've given to all born-again children of God the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you'd work in our hearts today as we consider this theme. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to focus in on this phrase that's used by the Apostle Paul here in verse 19 as he reflects on why he's in prison. He reflects upon the fact that he really doesn't know what the future will be for him. He doesn't know whether he's going to be executed or whether he's going to be released. And he says, no matter, I have a desire to go and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, which he says is far better. Or if the Lord would have me here, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to serve you. I am going to give myself in the furtherance of your faith. And so either way, the Apostle Paul was happy to do whatever God called him to do. But he hones in on a thought that's carried through the rest of this paragraph. And that is this, that the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ would be available to him and to them. Very interesting word. The word that's used here, translated supply, is used five times in the New Testament. Very interesting word. And it is epikorageo, or epikoragia. It's an interesting word. We get our word choreograph from this particular word. And to choreograph, used whenever people are doing the old 40s and 50s movies that had the dancing scenes and so forth like that. They call that choreography, where they show them all the different moves. Well, choreography is a much bigger word rather than just isolated for dancing. It can be used in other areas. It's a military term. Choregeo was the word that was used for logistics in the supply lines for the Roman army. Whenever they would move into a region, they had a supply line that would be bringing all the food for all of their troops, to supply them with new spears and with new swords. And if they lost their shield, they would get replaced because the supply line of the Roman army was second to none. Korageo. A supply line that indicated not only do they have the logistics in place to get the supplies from point A to point B, but they also have enough supplies. You know, it's wonderful to have a supply line, but if there's nothing at point A to send up, what good is it? What good is it? Oh, you can talk about, we've got a supply line of food. Our supply line is Sam's Club, and if Sam's Club is empty, and they don't have anything to send, you can brag about Sam's Club all you want to, but if they don't have the food you need, you're in trouble. And this is the point of this word. The supply line that's indicated by this word indicates that there's more than enough to meet every need of every child of God, every believer throughout all of history. Isn't that wonderful? It never runs dry. It always has something that's there. Whenever we were growing up, we used to make trips to Geneva, Alabama, because that's where my grandmother was from. And we would go visit the cemeteries, and we would see where my great-grandfather was buried and so forth like that. But in downtown Geneva, they have an artesian well. It's been there forever. And they actually built a community pool that was supplied from the water of the artesian well. And I remember as a kid, when we would make trips to Geneva, we would go there to see the well. And every year we went, you could see the pipe that came out of the ground and the water was just pouring out, going into the swimming area there where the kids were at. And to this day, they've never had a time that the artesian well was not pumping water. Just consistent pumping water out of the ground. Just bubbles up out of the ground, it goes up through the pipe, into that pool. I don't know whether they still have the community pool because I haven't been to Geneva in a number of years. But the last time that we went with my grandmother, while she was still alive, it was still going. It was still pumping water. That's the picture that's given to us here by this word, supply. There's not only the logistics in place of the conduit, which is the Spirit, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ has everything we need to live the Christian life. There's no excuse, Christian, for you not to live the Christian life. No excuse. Well, I just keep falling back into sin, and I keep doing this, and I keep dying. I want to do what's good, what sounds just like Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul talked about that. That I, in my heart, I would do good, but I find myself doing evil. I want to think the right thoughts, but then there's the wrong thoughts that pop into my mind. And then we move right into Romans chapter 8. And you know what that's all about? Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have the supply of the Holy Spirit of God. We have everything we need. And that's the understanding that the Apostle Paul came to, that what I need to do is live life not in myself, but in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what makes the difference. When you try to live life in the flesh, you don't have enough strength. You don't have enough strength to live the Christian life. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you this. You can't live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit of God. He is the initiator of life, and He is the power of that life. The resurrected life, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. The power of the resurrection is found in the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, as Paul writes about here. So, with that understanding and with that supply, he says, I can live life, I can face life four ways. Now, we're not going to get to all four this morning, all right? But we're going to get to at least two. The first area here that Paul says he can live life is that he can live life optimistically. He could live life optimistically. Look at this in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my deliverance through your prayer. Now, what is he referring to that this shall turn? Where is he at? He's in prison right now. He's in jail. And by the way, would he ever leave? No. Was he going to return back to Philippi and be able to see them again? No, history tells us that he died. He was executed. But he said, I know that this shall turn to my deliverance. Deliverance from what? It wasn't deliverance from prison like in an earthly sense, but it was deliverance from prison in an eternal spiritual sense. He was delivered into heaven's glory. After all, he said, that would be much better for me. For me to live is Christ. To die, finish it for me, is gain. Now, you know, most people don't think that way today. To think about death is morbid. To think about death is negative. So what do? We put it out of our mind. But I want to tell you something. We're all facing it. We're all facing death. You don't know how it's going to come, and you don't know when it's going to come. But the Bible says that every man, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So you better be prepared. If you're not preparing yourself for death, you're not living the Christian life. Because the Christian life is preparation for meeting Jesus Christ and to serve Him for all eternity. Why is it a surprise to people? I just can't believe that that person died. What? So-and-so was 98. I just couldn't believe that they passed away. Well, what did you think was going to happen? They had such great help for so many years. I just can't believe it happened. Now, it's troubling when it's a little child. I could go down the list of all the children that we've seen going on to glory, and it troubles us to see a child. But where are they? They're with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So you and I can live life optimistically. Let me give you a story. Comes from Norway. I'm 13% Norwegian. So I'm starting to study Norwegian proverbs because I've got 13% Norwegian blood in my system. But I read this story some time ago as I was reading about some of the Arctic trips. I got interested in this some years ago about all the different expeditions. In the 1800s, there was about 16 expeditions because they all wanted to go where? To the North Pole. Now, there's not actually, kids, a pole sticking up out of the ice up there, all right? That's just mythological type stuff. But they know where the top of the earth is, and they all wanted to get there. There was a Norwegian explorer that went twice to try to make his way to the North Pole. Now, I'm going to see if I can say his name. His name was Fridtjof Nansen. If I were to ask you if you've ever heard of Fridtjof Nansen, you'd say, I've never heard of him. All right? But I have. And what was interesting, in 1888, he set out on a one-year trip to get to the North Pole. He didn't make it. Ended up having to turn around and go back home to Norway. He got married and he told his wife, I'm going again. This time for 3 years. Now, wives, can you imagine that? I'm going to be gone for 3 years. But I'm going to communicate with you. And his wife said, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm taking hundreds of pigeons with me. And I'm going to send messages back to you. Carrier pigeons. So he did that. 2 years in the Arctic, he came very close to the North Pole. He pulled out a couple of his carrier pigeons and he wrote a note to his wife. I am near. Now she knew what that meant. But he didn't want to put a big long message because it would be too much for the bird to be able to handle in flight. Because in those days, they tied the message under their wing. They took twine and strapped it underneath the wing to the body of the bird. And can you imagine flying 2,000 miles? But that's what happened. He sent a note to his wife in Norway. I am near. 2 years. It was 1895. She was on her porch. And all of a sudden, this bird comes flying in and just flops right in her lap. It was one of the carrier pigeons. Excitingly, she began to look. One of her friends was there visiting, and she opened the tiny little message and said, I am near, and she threw it to the floor, and she held the bird. The neighbor that had come over to visit said, what did he say? And you know what she said to her neighbor? It doesn't matter. He's still alive. That was all that mattered. That carrier pigeon showing up after 2,000 miles of flight from the upper edges of the Arctic Circle all the way to Norway, flying over ice, icebergs, snow, making it there and landing in her lap. She said, "That's all I needed to know. He's alive. This bird's here." And I thought about this in relationship to how we live the Christian life. Do you know and understand that we know that Jesus Christ is alive because the Holy Spirit indwells believers? The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with my spirit and your spirit, if you're a child of God, that we're the children of God. It's just like that carrier pigeon. She just threw the note to the ground. She wasn't concerned whether he made it to the North Pole or not. She just wanted to make sure he was what? Still alive. I don't care about the message. All I care about, this bird tells me he is alive. And by the way, 3 years from 1893, 1896, his boat arrives in Norway. He gets off and he greets his wife. And he said, "Did any of the carrier pigeons make it?" "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We had six that made it." Over 3 years of sending those up, some of them didn't make it, but some of them did. And I thought about this in regard to the Holy Spirit of God. We have His presence, and He represents somebody to us. Notice who Paul brings out here in the latter part of verse 19. "And the supply of the Spirit of whom?" Say it, please. Jesus Christ. The one who went to Calvary's tree and died for me. He took my place. Don't ever forget that. All of you that are seated here and those that are watching my Facebook Live, don't ever forget that Jesus Christ, this isn't a generic death. He took my place on Calvary's tree. And when He rose again from the tomb through resurrection power, He was taking my place. And through Him, I have all that I need. That one day when this heart stops ticking and I enter into the presence of God, I go there not on my merits. I go there not in my strength. I go there not because of something that I said or did, but I go there on the merits of the person of Jesus Christ. And I have my Savior with me every day in the person of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said in the book of John that when the Comforter shall come, He will bear witness of me, Jesus said. He will bear witness of me, and so I have a connection to my Savior, and it's the Holy Spirit of God. What kind of a connection do you have? I try to listen in on the men's prayer group on Wednesday night so I can hit the bell, but sometimes when that air conditioner kicks on in there, that's all I hear. And I'm hearing all the hum and all that kind of stuff, and they're static, and I can't hear. Some of the men are quiet spoken, so I can't hear them when they're praying, so I just have to go up there and hit the bell whenever the time comes. But, you know, I can hear it crystal clear until that air conditioner comes on, and it causes a disruption to the sound signal. You know what I have found over the years in ministry? That there's a lot of people that got a static in their lives. And they've got static in their lives because they're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They're allowing the world to cut in. They're allowing the world to cut in on their life, and that ought not be the way we live. We've got the promise of the supply. The logistics are in place. The supply house is full of power for my life, and I'm allowing the world to come in and restrict the channel of power that I need. By the way, Christian, the moment you came to know Jesus Christ, you got all of the Spirit of God. Can I say that again? You got all the Spirit of God. There's a group that teaches that the Holy Spirit comes in pieces and parts. And you just got to keep praying until you get all of Him. Well, I want to tell you something. The moment I was saved, I got all of Him. But the question is, does He have all of me? That's the problem. The problem is that we don't have enough of the Spirit. The problem is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have enough of us. And we need to get things right. Paul said, I'm facing the possibility of death or release. You know, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's wonderful. It's good. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I can face life or death optimistically. Optimistically. I want to take you to the second thing here that Paul brings out. Not only can he live life optimistically, but he can live life purposefully. Purposefully. I want you to see this in verses 20 through 21. According to my, what's that next word? Earnest. You know, I wish that some of these fast food restaurants taught earnestness. How many of you have ever sat in line at a fast food restaurant and you were sitting there waiting and somebody is at the thing and they're trying to figure out what they want to order and you can see them struggling with that? They're going to get the 4 for $4, but they got to read through the whole menu first before they get the 4 for $4 at Wendy's, all right? Then you go up to the window and then they're trying to figure out how to do the change. I've actually had to figure the change for them in the past. And it's actually up there on their meter, but they're sitting there struggling trying to do that. And just hand me a quarter. I'll be good with that. Do you know what a quarter is? All right. Struggling. It's called fast food, but it's anything but fast. Now, I want to tell you something here. You know what we need today in the church? In our local churches all across America and all those... It's one word, earnestness. Get earnest to live life with some purpose. I just don't get the lackadaisical way in which people live, and they call that Christian living. Are we going to go to church today? Oh, I don't know. And we debate about that. Am I going to read my Bible today? Well, I'm in a hurry today. I don't think I have time for that. And living the Christian life is haphazard like we live life. The reason that you're haphazard about your Christian life is because you're haphazard about the life that you live. If you can be late, you can be on time. It's very simple. It's not rocket science. If you can show up late, you can get up earlier and show up on time. That's the way we ought to live. Earnestness. And Paul says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now get a hold of what he's saying. I've got a purpose. I've got a purpose, and it's the magnification of Jesus Christ in my body. Get a hold of that, Christian. We're talking about the philosophy of Christian living. Getting earnest. Understanding what life is supposed to be about. Life is not supposed to be about checking off the bucket list. Well, I got to do this. I get to go on to my next thing. I'm going to check that off. I'm going to tell you something. If you miss something in this life, we're going to get to do it in the next one. Amen? I may never see the Grand Canyon, but you know what I am going to see? I'm going to see all the glories of heaven. And I'm going to look at the Grand Canyon and say, that was nothing compared to the glories of God in all eternity. He's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. It's going to be more beautiful than this one. You know, I love the creeks of Santa Rosa County. Juniper Creek, Coldwater Creek. Love going down those creeks. And you know who messes them up? Humans. Trash. Throw out their trash on the river. Every year they have to go up and down the rivers picking up all the trash that people throw out because they're careless. Messing up. But you know what's going to happen when we get into eternity? I won't see one cup. I won't see one can. Because in eternity, the glories of God's creation are going to be pristine forever and ever. So if I miss out on it in this life, so what? Some people can't deal with that. I'm not going to get to do that. That's on my bucket list. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is it that important that you sacrifice Christian living and honoring the Lord to do your bucket list items? I think we need to examine ourselves in that regard. We need to get back to earnestness in the Christian life. And Paul says, my job is to honor Jesus Christ. Honor Jesus Christ and rejoice in Him. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That used to be something that was preached and taught in Christianity in our churches today. But today we're more concerned about personal finance. We're more concerned about all kinds of other things. I can go down to education. We're concerned about all these things. Is education good? Yes. Personal finance good? Yes. But how about eternal verities? You think we can put some time in on that? How did Paul live? He said, for me to live is Christ. You know what? We really can't get to the second half until we get the first half settled. And Paul did. For me to live is Christ. Not for me to live is to get everything I can get out of this world. No, for me to live is Christ. And once you get that settled, you can move on to the next one. And to die is gain. You know, you ought to prepare for death just like you're preparing for life. And I'm not talking about making sure you get a discount on your plot and make sure you get your casket all ordered and get that mahogany deal that's going to have all the engravings put on it and whatever when they put you inside and picking out your last suit or your dress. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being prepared that when that heart stops, I'm ready to meet the Lord. I am ready to go through that shadow of death and fear no evil because the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. You got to prepare for that. You got to prepare for that, young people. Young people say, well, I've got lots of years ahead of me. It's interesting. When you read the obituaries, there's usually some young person in there, somebody that died in a car wreck. A 14-year-old went into their house to avoid the storm in Louisiana. Little did they know that before midnight they would be dead because a tree came crashing down through the house and killed that 14-year-old immediately. All of life before them. A ninth grader in a high school, excited about the school year and what was going to happen this year. Life snuffed out just like that. Better be ready. Are you preparing? For me to live is Christ. And to die, if you know Christ, is what? It is gain. It is gain. Oh, how we need to get back to the Bible way of thinking. Amen. Who is our supply? Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is our supply line. Not only does He provide the logistics of getting power to you, but He's got all the power you need in Him. Father in heaven, we've just touched on this passage today, but I pray that You'd help us to get a hold of it. Our life is not to be lived selfishly. Our life is not to be lived in the power of the flesh. There's not enough power. The Christian life has to be lived through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the supply that only the Holy Spirit can give as He represents the person of Christ in our lives. I pray that today on this 69th anniversary of our church that we would know where our power comes from and that we might know that power, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. That's the theme verse of this book of Philippians. And I pray that You might help it to ring in our hearts, dear Father. We thank You that You've not left us here alone on this earth to try to scratch it out and hope that we're going to be all right for eternity. We can know for sure. And if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they don't know that power, they don't know His person, that today that they would stop clinging to this world and clinging to this life, and that they might let go and grab a hold of Jesus Christ before it's too late. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.